We've just spent the past few weeks just working our way through Jesus and this moment in his life where he's washing the disciples' feet and serving them. And just a recap of where we've been. But the first week that we did this, we looked at in this text, Jesus, it reads that Jesus, that he desired to show them the full extent of his love, or he loved them to the utmost. And in that first week, we looked at love as the foundation for serving. Some people will serve or be generous or give to have their name on a plaque or to receive the applause of man. Oftentimes, sometimes you just feel out of guilt or obligation, you do something. But Jesus, his heart's desire was to demonstrate the full extent of his love. And Paul prays for us that we would know the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And so when we join Christ in that measure of love, that full extent of his love, we open the door to receive and experience the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then the second week we looked at, I always thought, I remember growing up in the church and just hearing, you gotta serve. It's if you want to be godly, you gotta serve. And it's just it was truth, but why? I don't even want to do this. All right, fine. I'll do it. Right. And serving was never supposed to be like that. And we saw last week what Jesus knew, that he knew that the hour had come. He knew that God had placed all things under his power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus' life was full of vision, full of calling. He would live strategically and prayerfully, not just for the moment, but for the long game, for eternally. He served to fulfill the purposes of God and the calling on his life. And that's the life of serving for us, is that it's not just doing a nice thing because that's just what good Christians do. It's about fulfilling the purposes of God. If you have a vision for the call of God on your life, you'll give everything for that. There's nothing that's too low for you to do in that. There's nothing that you're like, oh, this costs too much. No, I understand the call that God has on my life. I'd give everything for that. And so we understand the calling and the purposes of God in our life in serving. And today I want to look at this interaction between Jesus and Peter in this moment. So let's pray, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit just to show us and reveal to us all that he has on his heart today. So Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord. You've promised that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And we thank you for your presence. Thank you for drawing near to us as we draw near to you. Thank you that your heart is always for us and you're desiring a greater measure of fellowship and intimacy with us. You desire to show us more of yourself. And we just say yes and amen to that today. We ask, Holy Spirit, would you open the eyes of our understanding, bring revelation, enlighten the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Let us know you better. We want to be transformed. We want to see Jesus as he truly is and be made like him in every way. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and have your way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in John chapter 13, we're going to read just the whole scene. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said Minor little typo though. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not a hothead, just shoot off your mouth, shoot from the hip, responsive guy like Peter was. But I really identify with Peter's passion. I love, obviously, Jesus meant so much to him that he would be, in a sense, almost offended at the fact that someone he esteemed, like Jesus, would stoop to such a level as to wash his feet. And so I can identify with his response, say, no, Lord, you're not going to do that. That's not right for you to wash my feet. And as Jesus responds to him and says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. Well, then I understand that response too. Well, then wash all of me, Lord. Take every part. I want all that you have in me, and I want you to have every part of me. And so Peter, he's going from one extreme to the other. And it's amazing just to watch how Jesus just completely turns Peter's world upside down. He completely wrecks Peter with washing feet, with serving. In movies or we always esteem that guy, you know, maybe there's a crisis and everybody's scrambling, trying to figure out what to do. And then there's that one guy that comes in with authority. He's the expert. He knows what to do. He just starts calling shots and taking charge, and everybody just starts scrambling, running to do what he says. And we're like, that's the guy I want to be. The guy just walks in the room, just changes everything. But Jesus does this with washing feet. He completely wrecks Peter's world. He completely turns it upside down with washing feet. Peter's like, you'll never wash my feet. Peter, you're not going to have any part with it. Then wash everything. Peter, you don't need a full bath. You just need to be cleaned up. I don't know what to do. Right? Peter's just a mess right now. He's trying to figure this thing out and knowing what to respond. But Jesus is revealing himself to him and revealing his heart. What if the church actually got a hold of this? What if the church began to manifest and walk in this measure of love? What of this world would be wrecked and turned upside down for the kingdom of God? With this measure of love being in operation in us, what would it change? What would it upend? What would it disrupt? But that's just it. Jesus says here at the end, just as I've done this for you, so you're to do this for one another. This is our calling in this. This is the expectation of Jesus that we would mimic him in what he's doing here, that we would put this on display in every part of our lives, that we would clean one another up, that we would wash one another's feet, that we would deal with that dirt in each other's lives that's so offensive to us. Maybe this is a surprise to you. I never really thought of it this way before. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. We're a family, right? And sometimes people come in here, surprise, 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 with dirt on their feet. They come in here with rotten attitudes. They come in here with pride. They come in here with false expectations. They come in here with wounds from their past. They come in here with dirt on their feet. And God's solution is place them in the middle of other servants who will wash them, who will cleanse them. This is difficult. It's difficult for us. It's difficult for us to think like that because this requires us to take Jesus' place before one another. This requires us to walk in humility. This requires us to walk in love. This requires us to think not only of our own interests, but also of the interests of others. This requires us to walk in humility before each other. And it's difficult for us to allow one another to wash our own feet, because we all have dirt on our feet. There's no one in the room that was exempt from this moment. That's tough, isn't it? Because the first thing that you have to realize in allowing somebody to serve you is that you've got to come face to face with the fact that I have dirt on my feet. This is the reality. We like to cover it up. We like to do whatever we can to cover the odor, to disguise the dirt, to maybe point everybody's attention to something else, or to make excuses. Well, this is why I've got dirt on my feet. therefore I'm excused, right? We've got to come face to face with the fact that there's dirt on our feet. And it's difficult in this because this now brings us into a place of vulnerability with one another, because now other people are seeing and are impacted and are affected by the dirt, by the funk on our feet, right? And we don't like that. We don't like being in that place of humility and vulnerability with one another. I remember when I was in high school, I wrestled. I was on the wrestling team, and wrestling was just one of the, that sport just makes sense to me. I love it. I love the mental strategy. I love the hand-to-hand combat, battle to the death. I love the strength and skill it requires. And so my freshman year, I made the varsity team. And so I got a varsity letter, but I didn't have a varsity jacket. So I was talking with my parents. I said, I need a varsity jacket. And they're on a military income. There's five kids. It was going to cost about $100. So there wasn't a whole lot of cash laying around to do this. So I realized I was going to have to get it on my own. Okay, I got to go figure this out. Out of sight, out of mind, conversation's over, we move on. And one day my mom was driving me home from somewhere, and we pull up to the house, and somehow at that last minute, we just end up getting in this huge argument, like yelling, screaming. I storm out of the van, I slam that door, I walk up to the house and go inside, and I slam that door, and I storm up the stairs into my room, and I slam that door. And I turn around, and there hanging on my closet knob was a brand new letter jacket with my name embroidered on it and the varsity letter already stitched on. Nothing like being served. Nothing like having someone be generous to you that just suddenly exposes the rottenness of your attitude. 2 seconds before, the problem was all my mother. Suddenly, I'm coming face to face that the issue is me. It's my attitude. And there I am, and I'm stuck in my room now. I can't go outside because then I've got to humble myself and actually like apologize and say, Mom, you're great. Thanks so much for doing this. She had me trapped in my room, in my pride, dealing with my issues. It's amazing what a little service, a little washing of one another's feet will actually accomplish and do in us and in one another. But he calls us to do unto one another what he's done for us. So I want to talk about washing just for a little bit here so we understand what some of the terms and what we'll be talking about here. But all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? All of our anger, all of our deception, all of our greed and covetousness and lust, it's all an offense before a holy and righteous God. And so he cannot have fellowship with us. And so on the cross, he made complete atonement and payment for that penalty. Jesus, he sent his son Jesus to take on the full burden, the full weight of that wrath, of that judgment for our sins. When we place our faith in that sacrifice, we no longer carry that weight of judgment, of wrath on us. It's been placed on Jesus. That's done with and paid for and completely satisfies the wrath of God. But then he took one more thing. The Bible says it's the blood of Jesus that washes us, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So not only did he take away the judgment and the penalty of sin, but he also cleansed us. There is no longer any remembrance of that sin because the payment has been made, because the blood has cleansed. And then scripture tells us this, that he actually credited to us, clothed us in the righteousness of his son Jesus. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sin in the past because it's been paid for. It's been washed away. And he doesn't see our lack because we've been given the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So that's what he sees, is just the righteousness of Christ. And he doesn't see any of the past junk because it's been paid for and washed in the body and blood of Jesus. But not only that, but then he sends the Holy Spirit to come live inside us. And because we've lived so long in this way, in this system, that's just our natural reaction in every area of life that we come to, is I'm just going to handle it the way I've always done. And we need to realize we've been transferred from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of his son, whom he loves and whom we have forgiveness, the redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And so the Holy Spirit begins to do this work, even though we're justified, even though we're forgiven and washed and credited righteousness, the Holy Spirit still has to do this work of just cleaning us up in every area of our life. The Holy Spirit just begins to take this area and say, let's try this a different way. I like to compare this to this sometimes to the whole picture of adoption. Because sometimes what people think is you just get them out of the orphanage and you just put them in your family. Voila, you have a family. Everything's great. When reality is that this orphanage scene, this orphanage, as dysfunctional and as warped as it was their family. That was their world system. That was everything that they knew. And we went through a legal process. We paid the fees and we've received them and everything's full on legit. That's my son. I'm devoted to them. I'm committed to him. It's finalized. It's done. But the issue is that he has no idea what this life looks like and how to operate and function over here. And so what does he do? He just keeps going on like he always did over here. So when he does that, I don't need to go back and readopt him. Just need to, let's bring some correction and straighten this up, because what works over here isn't going to work in the family. And this is what Jesus is saying here and pointing us out. He said, you know what? We're going to stumble. We mess up. We get ourselves dirty. Issues come up from our past. We don't need to be born again. Again, we just need a little cleansing from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, as we come more into this kingdom and become more conformed to this kingdom and the King and His ways. So the wording there is actually bathed and washed, and it's two different pictures. So if you get home from work and you take a shower and go to prepare dinner and you get some raw meat on your hands, you don't need to go take a shower again. You just need to wash your hands. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. That's right. He's continually working. And this cleansing that the Holy Spirit wants to bring, this cleansing that Jesus wants to bring into our lives, it's continual. It's ongoing. The Bible calls it sanctification. And so how does the Father do this? And I want us to look at just four short scriptures just to highlight to us what God's doing and how He does it. So first is this from 1 Corinthians 6:11. Just reads this: you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All right, let's look at this verse here. From Ephesians 5:25-26, Paul's instructing husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy by cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And so we have two things here highlighted. One is in 1 Corinthians, the Spirit of God, and then in Ephesians, the Word of God. There are two dynamics that God uses in cleaning us up, in washing us, in renewing us, and it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And just let me take a brief tangent here. I want to briefly give us the whole scope of Scripture. But in Revelation 19, Jesus comes, and he comes on a white horse with eyes of fire and a two-edged sword and crowns on his head. And it says that his name is the Word of God. And so looking at this verse in Corinthians, you could paraphrase this: you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the Word of God and by the Spirit of our God. And in Ephesians, it says to make her holy by cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Does anybody know what does water symbolize in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, we quoted some of it today in our singing. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and I will cause that out of their innermost being rivers of living water to flow. And then John goes on and says, by this he meant the Spirit. And so again, in Ephesians, by cleansing her through the Spirit of God, through the Word. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit. Two more verses. Ready? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And finally, Jesus prays in John chapter 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So there are two things, right, that Jesus, that God uses to wash us, to cleanse us, to renew us, to straighten us out, to bring us into alignment with who He is. It's the Spirit and the Word of God. Now, I want to say this because there are these camps and there are these extremes out there that say some odd things. And one might say that they've got just scripture alone, just the Word of God. And they value the Word, and I love that, and they want to go deep in the Word, and that's awesome. But they almost completely exclude any activity of the Holy Spirit whatsoever. I'm not that sharp of a guy. I need a lot of help in understanding the Word. I need the activity of the Holy Spirit integrated, infusing the Word of God to me. I need a lot of help. And then on the other extreme, you'll have some people who'll say, hey, and they'll say some foolish things sometimes. They'll say, listen, it's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, not Father, Son, Holy Bible. And their heart is this, is that we need more of the Holy Spirit's activity in our life. I love that. But that phrase almost makes it seem as if, the Bible, you can kind of add that in later. But Scripture, it's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. Both of these things together at work, washing us and cleansing us, renewing us, bringing us into a place where we can have fellowship with Jesus. And I want to add one more thing because this will add just even some more understanding. But Jesus says this in John chapter 15. He's talking about, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, the vine dresser, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes them that they might bear more fruit. And then he says, you're already clean because of the word that I spoke to you. Well, that word prune and clean are the exact same word. He says, the vine dresser, he cleans the branch so that it'll bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. There's a coming away in this idea of cleansing and washing. It's a separation. It's a coming away from everything that would hinder life, everything that would hinder fellowship with Him. This is why Jesus washed their feet. They stunk. They were dirty, right? We sit around at the table and sometimes we'll go to pray and I'll reach over to grab one of my kids' hands and it's filthy. It's dirty. I said, I thought we told you to wash your hands. I said, I did. I said, well, try using water this time, right? I mean, it's just, you can't have fellowship with that dirt there. There needs to be a separation, a cleansing, so that it can be fellowship. That's why the writer of Hebrews says this, since we've had our hearts cleansed by the blood of Jesus and our bodies washed with water, let us draw near. The whole aim of the washing, of the separation, of the cleansing, of the pruning is so that we might experience an increase of fellowship with Jesus. That's what the work of the Word is in our life. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing in us today, right now, at this moment. This is why Sunday morning is important, not so that my ego gets stroked by how many people are here or we just have a great service together. Sunday morning is important because the Spirit of God is here and the Word of God is here and He's washing us and He's cleansing us and He's pruning us and He's creating us to have a greater experience with His presence together. That's what's going on. When we meet in small groups and the Word of God is ministered by the Spirit of God, He begins to wash us and cleanse us and equip us and set us right for greater fellowship with His presence. That's what the Word of God and the Spirit of God are doing in our lives. So Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Why is it important that you spend time every day in His presence and in His Word? So that you can be washed, you can be cleansed, you can be pruned. You can experience a greater measure of His presence. Why is it important for you to spend time in His presence and in His Word every day? Well, why do you wash your hands every day? I don't want to be sick. I want to live life to the fullest. I want to be clean. It's the same thing. That's what His Word and His Spirit are doing to us, in us and through us. But then Jesus, He turns things on us here. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet, as I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So this is like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be doing the job that the Word of God and the Spirit of God do? It seems to be the expectation of Jesus. So the question is, how now do we do this for one another? How do we wash one another? How do we cleanse one another or prune one another? And here's where it gets fun. Is that we minister the Word of God to one another by the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus is actually calling us into partnership with His Spirit, partnership with His Word, in serving one another. That we can tend to one another, we can tend to the dirt on one another's feet, and we can even suffer through that dirt, through that stench that comes in here, because we understand we've all got dirt on our feet. But He calls us into partnership with Himself. He calls us into humility and serving with Himself. How does this happen? Well, here's what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." The first thing he says is teaching one another. Maybe teaching looks like something like what I'm doing here. Maybe teaching is just in a small group. But it's this, it's that we have the opportunity in that gift of teaching, in that exercise of teaching, the ministry of the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit to wash one another, to serve one another, to actually prune one another. It's not like I'm just going to hack you to pieces because it's just with the Word of God, but it's actually serving in love. You need to hear this Word because it's going to free you. And enable you to experience a greater measure of His presence on your life. Ministering the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit in teaching. Maybe we're always teaching our children. And I'll just say, we don't have a whole lot of rules in our house. Maybe one or two, literally. I can't keep track of that many. So we're not always enforcing the rules, but we are always teaching Scripture. We're always addressing the heart. Because when you do that, then they start fulfilling the rules. When you start teaching honor your mother and father, then that takes care of sassing mom, doesn't it? I don't have to make a rule about sassing mom. I just have to teach. You need to honor your mom. We're always teaching. Maybe just you're just getting together with a friend and going deep in God's Word, asking some questions about some things that you're wrestling through. John says this. It's very interesting. He says, "You have no need of teachers because you have the anointing in you." And he's not doing away with pastors or teachers or evangelists. What he's saying is that you yourself, by the Spirit of God, are equipped to minister the Word of God to one another. Do you know the letter of Colossians was not written to a pastor? It was not written to a group of elders. It was written to the church in Colossae. It was written to people, men, women, young, old, just like you. Working businesses, raising children, trying to do marriage, right? All the stuff that we go through, this is who he was writing to in this. You are to teach. You are to instruct. You are to minister, to serve the Word of God to one another, washing one another, serving one another, cleansing one another. And Paul goes on here in Colossians. He says, and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Guys, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Separate yourself from anything that would dull your love and your passion for Jesus. Get away from anything that would take your eyes off of Him. You have that anointing. You have that Spirit to minister the Word of God to one another, teaching and admonishing one another. This was written to the church. This is your place in this. As we serve one another, as we wash one another's feet, as we cleanse one another through the ministry of the Word, as we prune one another through the ministry of the Word. And then it gets wild. Because half of this verse has to do with worship. Teaching and admonishing in other all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns. What is that all about? I've instructed our worship leaders, Matt Cram, our guy out in Thailand. He took a course at TFC on worship, and he shared this with what his professor said to him. He said, "You know, Scripture says that as teachers, we're going to be held into a greater account, greater judgment, and so we should be careful." And he says this. He says, "What are we teaching our congregations with the songs that we sing?" Because a few days from now, you're not going to be singing my sermon. A few days from now, the songs that we sung this morning are going to be in your head, and you're going to be repeating those. And so the singing is a teaching time. The singing is a time of guarding our hearts, of allowing our eyes to be fixed on Him, of restoring us back to a place of Jesus, I only want you. But not only that, He's not writing this just to worship pastors or worship leaders. He's writing this to the church. Something happens when we sing. Something happens. There's a teaching that goes on to one another as we sing together. Something instructs our hearts. Something warns us and guards us and says, keep Jesus as number one. When we sing, we're declaring from our hearts the revelation, the knowledge of God, all of His attributes, all of His greatness, His worth, His glory, His power. We're instructing ourselves and we're instructing one another. And then this, spiritual songs. So there are times when the worship leader will say, lift your voices to the Lord. And then just a spontaneous, whatever God is stirring in your heart, that's the time just to release that in praise, to declare who He is, to thank Him, to love Him. Even if all you can say is, I just love you, Jesus. You're the best. Right? We just begin to sing this out. And there's a teaching going on that's taking place here. I wish I could get into more detail about it, but I don't know. It's just a mystery. Something happens. Scripture says he is enthroned upon the praises of His people. He comes in and He brings revelation of Himself. And then thankfulness. I'm so thankful for all the testimonies we've had over the past couple weeks. Because it teaches us. It teaches us who God is as provider. It teaches us who God is as healer. It instructs our hearts. It warns us. Hang in there. Be faithful. Don't let go of God. Don't give up trusting Him. He's going to come through. This is all what's going on just in our time of worship. And so any idea that I came today and I didn't really have anything to offer, are you kidding me? Lift your voice to the Lord. Declare His greatness. Give thanks to Him because you're teaching yourself and you're teaching one another. You're admonishing yourself and you're admonishing one another. Something happens. I've communicated many times that our number one priority here on a Sunday morning is to minister to His presence first, above anything else. Everything can just wait until we meet with Him. That has to be done. That's non-negotiable. But there's something horizontal that happens in worship. We know the story of Paul and Silas. They're imprisoned and they begin to pray and praise and their chains fall off. And then the chains of those around them begin to fall off as well. There's something that goes on in worship horizontally as well as vertically that you get to participate in. That's exciting because the Spirit of God is here and the Word of God is here. And through our worship in spirit and in truth, there's teaching and admonishing that goes on. How do we do this? We do this through the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, says when Christ ascended, He gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. All people who minister the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that the church might be made mature. It might be coming to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about love. We always read that at weddings, but he's talking about that in the context of gifts. That your gift, whatever it is meant to serve the body and is meant to operate in love for the body. Some people say gifts are messy. Well, that's because we make the gifts about us and we may use the gifts to serve us. It's never intended to be that way. The gifts are to serve the body. And the gifts are given to the body, not to the pastors, not to the professionals in ministry. It's given to the body. You have a part in serving the body and the bride of Christ into the whole measure of the fullness. This is how we minister the Word of God in the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And we wash one another, and we cleanse one another, and we set one another free, and we prune stuff off of each other. I remember one time we had a men's group that met here with the pastor before me. And I was just processing with Jen, talking about, you know, issues in my life, things that I was struggling with. She said, you should talk to that men's group about it. I said, well, it's difficult. It's not really set up. This format's not like that. And just a number of different things, just excuses, really. And just like that, she goes, confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. Wow. Isn't she cute? God's little mouthpiece, right? But she served me in that. Something got pruned off of me. And she did it in humility and love and served me in that. She didn't come with pride. She didn't do a little mic drop. Right? She didn't say, boy, you just got cleansed. Right? She didn't do that. It was just serving. It was the prophetic ministry of the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, that just began to set things free. This is why we have a microphone up here. This is why we welcome the prophetic utterances. This is why we want these things in operation here. This is why we value the Word of God. This is why His Spirit is so important to us, and His activity and His priority and His presence and His ministry and His power is non-negotiable with us. We absolutely need it. Because when those things are at work in our body, we get washed, we get cleansed, we get pruned. We get to serve one another. We get to see one another come into the whole measure of the fullness of God. So Jesus, He calls us to walk with Him in partnership. It's not us doing the work, it's the Spirit of God in us. To love one another as He loved. To serve one another into the purposes of God just as He did. And to wash one another as He did so that we can enjoy greater fellowship with Him. At the beginning, I just asked this question, what would happen if the church got a hold of this? What would change? And the reality is we'd walk in the whole measure of the fullness of God. The reality is we'd be a people fulfilling His calling and His purpose on our life, and we'd know greater fellowship with Him. That's why He gave us His Spirit. That's why He gave us His Word, because He desires these things for us more than even we do. Well, let's all stand together. I'm going to close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You that You're always faithful. Lord, You never reject us when we stumble. You never reject us, Lord, when we fail, Lord. But Your heart is always for us. Your heart is always to cleanse us. Your heart is always to wash us. Your heart is always to make us fruitful. Your heart is always to bring us closer to Your heart. And I thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, that's true. And God, we just respond to that to say, yes, Lord. And Father, today, whatever You're desiring to wash in our lives, Lord, we surrender that to You now. And Lord, whatever is out of line with You and Your ways and Your kingdom, Lord, we say by Your Spirit, by Your work, by Your Word, Lord, make us right. You desire truth on the inmost parts, God. And so we welcome Your Spirit, we welcome Your Word and its ministry to us. Change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.